Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. I'm your host, Tim Moore, Director and Senior Evangelist for Lemon Lime Ministries. And I'm joined today, as always, by my co-host, Nathan Jones, Internet Evangelist at Lemon Lion. Our purpose is to help you understand Bible prophecy and proclaim to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is coming soon.
Well, that's right, Tim. Now, some of you may be wondering how we can confidently say that Jesus is returning soon. After all, in Matthew 24:36, Jesus says no one will know the hour or the day, right? And that's true. But just after a few verses earlier, Jesus gave his followers several signs to look for that would indicate that his return is very near and right at the door. And we're here to tell you that these signs are multiplying all around us. We've put them into six categories: signs of nature, signs of society, spiritual signs, both positive and negative, signs of world politics, signs of technology, and signs of Israel.
In previous episodes, we've addressed the first two signs in great detail, signs of nature and signs of society. And today we're going to focus on the third category, spiritual signs. This is a unique category for several reasons. First, because there are both positive and negative spiritual signs. For all the other categories, the predictors of the end times are exclusively destructive. Think about the decay of our culture and the breakdown of the family, or the increasingly violent natural disasters afflicting the earth. And while many of the spiritual signs are negative, and we'll discuss those in greater depth today, there are also positive spiritual signs, and we'll get to those in today's program as well.
The other thing that is unique about this particular category of signs is that they are spiritual, not physical. We can't perceive them with our five senses. For example, everyone can see the signs of nature, like earthquakes, natural disasters, and out-of-control viruses. Of course, the world gives their own explanations for why these events occur, but we all see and feel these things occurring. But in the category of spiritual signs, the world doesn't perceive it. Indeed, they cannot understand them because it takes spiritual discernment to understand spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So we pray that God will grant us spiritual discernment to communicate and understand the spiritual signs of the end times. Well, we have a lot of ground to cover, and we'll jump into this topic in just a moment. In the meantime, to find out more about Lamb and Lion Ministries, please visit us at our website at christinprophecy.org.
Want to know what the Bible has to say about advancing technology, wars in Israel, natural disasters, rapid changes in society, and the end times? To get a trustworthy biblical perspective, keep listening to our radio program, watch Christ in Prophecy TV, and read the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available online at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back. In previous episodes, Nathan and I discussed the first two categories of signs of nature and signs of society. Believers and non-believers alike can see what's happening to the earth and to our crumbling culture. But the third category of spiritual signs is not so obvious. It takes spiritual discernment to see and to understand. And as we present these signs, we'll help you see that these spiritual signs significantly impact everyone, even if they don't realize where it's coming from. Well, we spent time in prayer and in Bible study to bring these signs to you now. What do you think, Nathan? What are some evidences that the world is in spiritual decline, or some of the negative spiritual signs we like to talk about?
Yeah, I'd say the subcategory of this category is that the world is in a spiritual decline. We can turn to Luke 18:8. The second half says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And that's a big question right now, because we are seeing spiritual faith in God diminishing throughout the West. Now, praise the Lord, it's spreading across Africa and Asia, but it seems like the church in the West is in great decline right now.
It sure does. You know, I'm reminded of what Charles Dickens wrote at the beginning of The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity, or in other words, non-belief. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, and it was the winter of despair. Now, we're going to talk about some very positive signs in a moment that are within the spiritual realm, but clearly there are many, many negative signs. We see people turning away from faith. The fastest rising category of Americans are what are called nuns. Now, we're not talking about ladies that wear habits and are aligned with the Catholic Church, are we, Nathan? What are the nuns in this context?
The nuns are saying they have no religious affiliation whatsoever. It's a mixture of atheists, agnostics, and skeptics, pretty much. Or just apathetic people that aren't interested. You know, what's interesting for me is that growing up, my mother used to always point back to when she was a young girl in the 50s and 60s and say, man, times have changed so much. The world is getting so more immoral than it was when I was a child. And I used to think, oh, Mom, you're stuck in the Leave It to Beaver age, you know? But now that I'm getting up there in age, I can look back across the last five decades and say, oh, my word, you can really see the sharp spiritual decline of the world as the world gets more violent, more angry. And the Bible prophesied that would be like in the end times, right?
It surely did. You know, we can say that this cycle has repeated itself before. And yes, every generation does think things are so much worse now than they used to be in some regards. But I think there's been a precipitous fall just before our eyes in these last few generations. You know, talking about the cycle, back in the 1700s, so almost 300 years ago, Edward Gibbon wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and he identified a clear pattern that repeats itself over and over. First, the family unit is attacked. That's the basic foundation of society. Government raises taxes to do what? To be able to provide the free bread and the entertainment that was prevalent, at least in the Roman world. That leads to increasing immoral and violent entertainment and sports. Eventually, the church itself loses its impact on culture. That obviously is a spiritual impact or sign. And we are witnessing in our society how the family unit has been under attack for at least three generations, to the point now that educators are trying to remove children from the jurisdiction of their parents. And, of course, the breakdown of marriage has been just prevalent in Western society, and we're trying to export it around the world, all the while government raising taxes, because without an intact mother and father in the home, well, government becomes the nanny state. And it just is a cycle that repeats over and over.
Oh, yes. It reminds me of the book Edge of Eternity. It's about a modern-day pilgrim's progress. And the pilgrim gets up to a mountain, and there's people that are hiking up the mountain, a slippery slope, and there's guardrails along the slope. But the people are angry that the guardrails are holding them back. So they kick them and punch them and knock them and break off the guardrails, say, yes, we're free of these restrictions, and then they all plummet off the mountain and die. And it seems like that's what society is doing today. It's rejecting the moral guidelines that hold us in place, that keep us from harming ourselves and harming society. We are an open, hostile rebellion against God.
You know, and that's exactly what Scripture talks about. We will go to many contexts. Romans 1, we'll get to in a moment. But right now, Psalm 2, the psalmist records, why are the kings of the earth taking their stand, the rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, that is none other than the Messiah, Jesus Christ, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. In other words, the world wants to live unrestrained by any moral boundaries. And of course, that leads to absolute anarchy and to the wickedness and the violence that we are seeing today.
Yes. And it's a huge lack of spiritual maturity. You know, you could read the old Puritan writings and say, wow, they were really strict, but they suffered. And so they turned to the Lord and they were very deep in their prayer life and their writings. But today we're a mile wide and an inch deep. And so our spiritual maturity is, we're like all spiritual children. When we have so much Bible, we should be spiritual adults, well-fed.
We certainly should. And you know, the other outcome of this, and this is something that the world is beginning to realize, is that we are having an epidemic of discouragement, depression, and despair. Research is telling us that people feel increased anxiety, addiction, and yes, even suicide, down to the teen ages that are pursuing all sorts of distractions from life as we know it, and it's leading to a nihilism or an absolute despair. Well, folks, we don't want to leave you despairing. This program will leave you with hope, I assure you, but we're going to take a brief break. We'll come back in just a minute to discuss what's really going on in the world and how it relates to our topic, spiritual signs.
Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. So, to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free bi-weekly Lamplighter magazine. you can easily sign up to have Lamplighter Magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
Well, welcome back to this segment we like to title, What's Really Going On? You know, you might think of a sign of the end times that would be less spiritual or like a lack of religious health in society, but this is really telling, Tim. A recent Pew Research poll reported that 70% of U.S. adults, they consider themselves spiritual some way. They report that spirituality is very important in their lives and that the world, they say, is in good shape. But you look around like, is the world spiritually in good shape? I have this article here that's very interesting. The title is, A Growing Number of Americans Ditching Religion, Believing in a Higher Power, but Not the God of the Bible. It's based on a Pew Research study. What do you think about that, Tim? Does America seem to be losing its faith in God, but turning to some nebulous spirituality?
You know, there was a song sung back in the 80s and into the 90s, Losing My Religion. And I think that's exactly what we are seeing before our eyes. We're losing the traditional Judeo-Christian values and religion that this country was founded on. But we've also seen, like you talked about, a rise in false spirituality, whether it's spiritual yoga, palm readers, New Age. We even see people advocating for what they call the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, if you can believe that. And as current as the current events of this day as we record, it's been announced that Amazon has a new series focused on Satan as a character worthy of emulating. In other words, a worthy role model because he wants to be free and he wants to have liberty. And so this is targeted not at adults, but at children, presenting Satan as somebody that our children should admire, respect, and quite frankly, even worship. I mean, this is horrible from a biblical perspective, but that's where our society is today.
Yeah, Satan's got a makeover. It was just a few decades ago. He was a guy who was all red. He had horns and a tail and hooves and a pitchfork. But now he's getting a glam job. He's looking like, well, he's the one that was set aside by God. God was at fault, not Satan. Satan did not rebel. God just was jealous of him. It's interesting, Tim, that in the last 30 years, 90% of Americans used to be Christian. You know, now it's only 60%, and we're that including what's called cultural Christianity in that number as well.
Yeah, we sure are. And again, this is addressed in Bible prophecy. Just following the current events, I mentioned the television program by Amazon, but we've even seen a rise in satanic clubs that are being sponsored at local high schools, middle schools, and even elementary schools. There are satanic groups all around the country who have demanded that they are allowed to create worship centers to Satan in various state capitals and other public spaces.
Yes, it's alarming, especially because it's targeted at our youth. I mean, just go to the teen section or preteen section of any bookstore, and what do you see are books? Two out of three of them are usually on the occult. I'm not just pointing out Harry Potter, but it's just the whole genre in general. We're teaching our youth to turn to the occult for their spirituality and not the truth, the God of the Bible. But then it's not just that the world is turning away from God, but the world is openly hostile to God. Now, here in the United States, we don't have as much pressure, but another article that came out says a Chinese pastor has just been sentenced to 14 years in jail for doing what? He was accused of peddling superstition. The Bible, the teachings of the Bible are superstition, and you can go to jail for it in some countries.
You sure can. You know, throughout the West, Christianity seems to be under attack, not just in despotic regimes like North Korea or totalitarian regimes like China. No, even in the West, we've seen pastors in Canada jailed for preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and biblical principles. We had the mayor of Houston at one point who was demanding that pastors turn over their sermons in advance so they could be approved by her and the administration there in the city of Houston. This is a spiritual attack, and it's clearly being aimed at Christians and our whole Judeo-Christian foundation.
It's because they hate God. I mean, really, in the end, they hate Christians because we are like Christ bearers. We are little lights into the world. But the real hatred's of God. It's the hatred of him and his moral law. And it's leaving people despondent and suicidal and despair. It's destroying themselves. Hello, this is Nathan Jones, inviting you to attend our annual Lamb & Lion Ministries Bible Conference, coming up on Friday, June 14th, and all day Saturday, June 15th. There are signs pointing to the decline of our country all around. The mental health crisis, economic instability, open borders, and chaotic foreign policy, just to name a few. Many people are looking forward to the coming election in hope of meaningful change. Find out how you can have hope even as we witness a nation in free fall. You'll hear from powerful speakers like Pastor Jack Hibbs and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and our very own evangelists Tim Moore, Dave Bowen, and myself as we address the pressing issues of the day from a biblical perspective. Join us in person at Denton, Texas, or via live stream. To find out more about the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference and to register online, go to christinprophecy.org/events. We are looking forward to you joining us this June. Welcome back. We're talking today about the spiritual signs of the end times. And a lot of the spiritual signs we've discussed are a result of godlessness in our culture, as the church age declines and people discard the truth. But there are spiritual threats coming from the church as well, and we'll get into that in just a minute. The bottom line, we all have a tendency to wander from God. You and I need to be then rooted in the Bible, which you can do by listening to this program every week, because there are false teachers and false prophets who seek to mislead God's people.
You know, Nathan, I would encourage not just listening to this program and other godly, Christ-honoring programs, but obviously reading the Word and grounding yourself in the Word of God, so that even if Nathan and I err or say something that doesn't come out quite right, you have tested us against Scripture itself, just like a good Berean.
Being good Bereans, right. Yeah,
exactly so. So what will the church look like in the last days? You know, so far this episode has seemed kind of doomy and gloomy because we're talking about all the negative, but that's exactly what Scripture predicted. It said that in the last days, scoffers will come. That's in 2 Peter 3:3. And they're scoffing at the very idea that Christ would come again and following after their own lust. Sadly, in our society context today, most of the world doesn't expect Jesus to come again. They don't believe in the creation account as declared in Genesis. And so I believe that Peter is giving a prophecy of people within the church who are professing Christians but scoff at the idea that Jesus is coming again, scoff at the idea that he actually created the world the way that he described. And we're told to avoid such people in 2 Timothy 3.
Yes, 2 Timothy 3 to me is one of the most important verses for understanding the end times, because Paul is telling us here that in the last days, the days leading up to his return, perilous times will come, and then he then describes what the people, the society would be like. This would define society. Men would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. And he goes on and on and on, and it finally says they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And Tim, here's the key. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. We live in a world that is more and more spiritualized. It's not scholastic like it used to be. It's all spiritualized. It has a form of spirituality, but it denies the true spiritual authority, which is God.
Yes, and the true source of all real power. You know, Paul also talks about in another passage from one of the Timothy books, this being 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. We are told later that even as the world enters the time of the tribulation, that there will be a strong delusion. And we're already seeing people readied for that mentality of strong delusion. So, Nathan, we've talked so much about the negative signs. Let's for a moment turn over to the very positive signs on the spiritual front.
Yes, it's extremely important to understand that the prophecies concerning the category of the signs of spiritual end times are both positive and negative. We've dealt with the negative. Folks, we're going to get into the positive right here. One of them is the fact that the gospel continues to spread throughout the world. God hasn't given up on the church. The church might be waning in the West, but we are seeing revivals break out all over Africa. The underground church in China, which is terribly persecuted, is growing and thriving. The gospel continues to spread because the Lord is going to fill heaven with those who have chosen him. He wants to live eternity with us who choose to be with him, and he doesn't force it upon us. So the gospel is spreading.
That's a good point. And right now, I know there are many, perhaps even listening to this program, who are heartbroken over the spread of apostasy, even within denominations like the United Methodist Church, where so many conservative Bible-believing Christians are having to leave. But in Africa, they are standing true. Mm-hmm. We are told that the Great Commission is being fulfilled as people people from every tribe, tongue, and nation are being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of our guests within the last couple of years on our Christ and Prophecy television program said that virtually every people group in the world that can be identified as unique and individual will be reached this year with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, being able to hear the gospel in their language or read it in their own language and tongue. So between the worldwide preaching of the gospel, the fact that God has been calling the Jewish people back to Israel, fulfilling Jeremiah 14, the Holy Spirit being poured out, folks, just this last year in Kentucky, my home state, there was a tremendous uprising of faith and repentance at Asbury University.
Yes.
And so we do see the Holy Spirit still working in the lives of people all around the world, and so that's a very positive encouragement even as we are in a period of darkness.
Yes, the Lord isn't given up on bringing people to salvation. So the gospel continues to spread. The Great Commission continues on. And Tim, I would say there's even what we call the remnant church, those who are faithfully looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. We're anticipating his promise. He said three times in Revelation 22, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. Well, folks, as you heard, this program is grounded in the Bible. You don't need to take our word about what's happening. We want to direct you to the reliable and accurate Word of God and ask Him to give you spiritual insight. I'm glad that you joined us today. Tim will be back in just a moment to give you some final words of wisdom and encouragement.
When you scroll through the daily news, you almost always hear bad news. It's easy to forget that there's anything good happening in the world today. But here at Christ in Prophecy, we want to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is returning soon. So swipe away the endless bad news and open up our free online Lamplighter magazine to discover your blessed hope. In the Lamplighter magazine, we explain why the nations are raging against each other in war, what's really happening in culture, and why you can have hope in Christ. The Lamplighter magazine is available in email, print, and downloadable formats. Sign up today at christinprophecy.org.
Several years ago, Pastor Adrian Rogers, who preached at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, preached a sermon called It's Getting Gloriously Dark. He asked this question, how can it be gloriously dark? We're living in strange days, are we not? When I see what's happening to this world, if I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not sure what I would do. Yet, knowing the Bible and Bible prophecy, when I see all these things coming to pass, they do not shake me. Sometimes they grieve me. Sometimes they sadden me, but they do not shake me. That's because I know God's word. I know they're a fulfillment of prophecy. I can say with all the saints, praise God, it's getting gloriously dark. Much of our context today, Nathan and I have described the darkness, the negative aspect of the spiritual signs we see descending on the world, the rise in apostasy, the increase in heresy, and even the abandonment of faith as more and more people claim themselves to be nuns, believing in nothing. And that is leading to a rise in depression, discouragement, and yes, even absolute despair. But Christians should never give in to discouragement or despair, because even as we see these negative signs abounding, they prove that Scripture is true and that Jesus Christ is coming soon. You know, I like to talk about exemplars throughout Scripture. One of my favorite exemplars is Daniel. Nathan and I just recently have been talking about Daniel in a series on our Christ in Prophecy television program. Perhaps you can go there and watch that on our YouTube channel or through our website. But the point is that Daniel was taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire, carted off to live in exile and to serve virtually as a slave. But Daniel maintained his integrity and his faith. He was a channel of God's blessing even to that pagan culture. And in spite of being persecuted, in spite of being at times ridiculed, and in spite of having enemies that sought to kill him and his friends, Daniel persevered. He was what Revelation would call an overcomer, because he put his trust in the true and living God. Folks, you and I can be overcomers in the world today, even as we wait for our great God and Savior. We know the end of the story. I'm reminded that Pastor Robert Morgan, in a recent interview that will air soon on Christ in Prophecy television program, discussed Revelation as a perspective of heaven and earth, then heaven, then earth. On earth, terrible things are going to happen during the period of the tribulation, but in heaven, there is repeated rejoicing, not because of the mirrors of misery and the judgments that are being poured out, but because they know that God is in control, and He is right and just. Let's take a note from even those gathered in heaven right now who are worshiping the Lord, and let's determine to worship Him regardless of our circumstances. And in the words of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32, let's be one of those people who know their God and display strength and take action. On behalf of Lamb and Lion Ministries, this is Tim Moore wishing you Godspeed.